sent their children to school, rain, shine, snow, or hail, or what. You went to school. Whether you're rich, poor, or high living, or low living, or I can't describe whatever, but you went to school. Every child went to school.
And your day is?
In my day, every child went to school.
And you're talking about 1910, 1915?
Well, I wasn't born until 1913. So I suppose I should be talking about from, let's see, 13, 14, 15, 16. From 1917, 18, up until. In the 80s, every child in the black community went to school. Stomachache or whatever, you went to school. On Sunday, you went to church. That's even up until the last 15 years. Sunday, you went to church. And most black children belong to girls join the Y, the boys join the Young Men's Y. And they had different organizations. And like I say, they went on field trips. They had programs and they learned skills. But most definitely, they went to school and to church. There's no such thing as they have today. Up in the last 10 years, 15 years. Say the last 15 or 20 years, from the time I can remember, up until the last 20 years, if your mother had to stand all day and wash and iron, cook, she saw that you went clean and you went to school and you went to church.
This period you were talking about earlier, when everybody was sort of excited about the film having been shot in your mother's house,
mm-hmm.
your grandmother's house,
mm-hmm.
How would you describe briefly how that was expressed where you encountered that among your peers?
Well, everyone was excited. And they expressed pleasure of someone of our race making a movie. And my grandmother opening my home to such as it was. And he felt it was suitable for what he wanted to do and to come in. And the communities expressed as a whole the graciousness of letting them do it, you know, and no, nothing, looking for nothing from it, you know, nothing from it, no comments or anything from the producer or from whatever, you know, just glad to help someone out.
Did they talk at all about the movie stars that they saw?
No. It was just something that they thought it was that people wanted to do, and it was just passed over, just like rain, you know.
Do you know how many days they were using your grandmother's
No,
house?
I don't.
Do you know if Mrs. Borden is still in
Well, Europe? She wasn't a Roanoke native. Like I said, she was from, I think, Lexington. And so now if I'm 81, she was a grown woman to me, I was a child. So she probably isn't living. And she could be living, but she would be really up in age.
Mm-hmm. Was she around in Roanoke very long, do you know? Or?
She was in, her husband was a railroad man, a hotel or railroad. Hotel or railroad, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But I think he was a railroad man. So they lived here quite a few years.
Could you describe her again? What she looked like?
Well,
did she have fancy clothes? Do you remember that?
Everyone had Sunday clothes and Monday clothes.
But her wardrobe didn't overly impress you.
No, no one's wardrobe overly impressed anyone. As I said, everyone had special clothes for special occasions. And most people, as a whole, they were clean, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you went to anything, or out for any occasion, you tried to look your best. And if it's in the summer like now, and you're going to go down Henry Street or go shopping down, see the stores, Roanoke was full of stores. You'd put on your little cotton dress, little hat, or your little umbrella.
Gloves?
No gloves. And that was it, you know, just a simple cotton dress. Just a simple cotton dress. And it wasn't, everyone walked.
You mean walking to either to church or to the movies?
Mm-hmm. And a few people had cars, but it wasn't a mandate that you had to have a car. But a few people had cars as the years rolled on, you know. But it's not like now with cars, you know, it wasn't a must, but most people live within walking distance of all their area churches. But churches and all these area churches were full on Sunday. And, well, like I said, we had to look forward to Easter programs, Thanksgiving programs, and Christmas programs.
Mr. Heller, do you have any questions that you want to ask?
Yeah, Mr. Heller could tell you something about his generation.
I was wondering if you had any questions that you wanted to ask, Mrs. Holmes.
What I wanted to ask you, what were some of the names of the people that visited with, as I call them, Mom Petsy? But, you know, when she would entertain, you know, can you remember the names of some of the people that would come to the dinners and parties that she would give?
With your French menus.
The friend, that was in my time. Well, she would have, well, all those people are dead. And what mostly would be at her house during her time was church meeting, well, the clubs, you know, the Bible Band, the Helping Hand, and the Flower Club. Those were her three main clubs.
What was the Helping Hand? What was the Helping Hand Club?
Well, that's a church from the First Baptist Church.
What did they do?
Well, they most, just like the Bible Band that I belonged to, my grandmother was president, my mother was a secretary, their main mission is to help different people in the community. And at one time, they did have a, you know how the program said, adopt a child in Africa or adopt a child. We did that, but it got too expensive. They tell you it would only cost so much for this, but it got so expensive we had to let it go. Mm-hmm. It starts off with what they say, but it grows, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. It doesn't end there. They say 20 a month or 16.
Do you remember any of the names of the people who came to the parties, as Mr. Holmes asked?
Oh, gee, where's you, really?
I'll tell you what, you don't have to remember their names. Could you tell us how they dressed when they came to the parties and what they did at the parties?
Well, they would have roll call, reading of the minutes, mm-hmm. and dues, and discuss different projects for the community, of first for the church and for the community that they could try to do. And then they would have maybe someone sing or play the piano. Mm-hmm. And they would serve, always be served. Mm-hmm. If it was nothing but tea and cake, or tea and coffee, and some ice cream, and a cake or something like that.
And your grandmother baked the cake herself, or
no,
she bought it?
No. My grandmother was one of those old-fashioned home cooks. She could cook rolls, but she was not. She'd make family pies. But for cakes, no. She always bought her cakes. She could make family pies, or like a pumpkin pie, a sweet potato pie. And, but, you know, cobbler, berry cobbler, apple cobbler, bread pudding, a corn pudding.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to baking, really baking, mm-hmm. my parents didn't have it.
And she didn't serve a cobbler to,
no.
to the ladies? She'd
oh, no,
cake.
Cake. You know, she'd have, you know, some of the members would bake a cake for her.
Oh.
She said,
mm-hmm. And when you said someone sang, was that a member of the group or was that someone?
Would be someone
outside?
Of the, you know, members, and most all members of the group, they most of them sang. My grandmother sang beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, too, played the piano.
And
I'm the only one that can't do anything.
Did they sing religious songs or secular songs?
They sang...
whatever was popular?
Popular music,
mm-hmm.
and religious songs.
Mm-hmm.
When you went to the silent films, was it a member of the community that played the piano? Or?
Oh, when I first started to go... but now, who played the piano, I don't know. But when I first started to go in the movie as a child, they'd have someone to play the piano, you know, to go along with the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who
no.
that was?
Do you remember if it was a man or a woman?
No. And, of course, that would have stopped, you know, and the films, well, they had silent movies for a long time because they didn't have talking movies until... In the, when did they have talking movies?
Well,
30s.
It might have been about the time that you were at in high school.
Yeah, the
mm-hmm.
30s. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when the theater on Henry Street got sound?
No, I don't.
Was it after the Roanoke got sound, or did they both get them at the same time?
I don't know when that, because my son was living here and he used to go to the Virginia Theater because
mm-hmm.
I'd have to go and get it. When I'd be come home on vacations and I'd have to go and get him out. He'd
yeah.
leave in the morning and he'd sit there, he and his little group sit there all day on a Saturday and look at the movies over and over and over. And he'd always lose his cap.
do you remember on any occasion when you went to see the silent movies, did someone read the either cards or?
No. To tell you the truth, I can't remember. Well, I do remember some of the silent movies because Real Valentino, that was a silent movie. And I'll never forget that. Douglas Fairbanks,
mm-hmm.
Mary Pickford, those were the silent movies.
And did you see them on Henry Street or?
Yes. Oh well, they're both these, you know. And the three little, who was the little children, the little black boy and the little fat boy.
No, you're talking about the Our Gang.
Yeah, Our
Gang.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Little rascals. That's right.
And what determined when you decided you were going to go to the movies? Did you go to the Roanoke or the one on Henry Street? Because of what they were playing or because if you were going, would you go alone to the Roanoke Theater?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time I'd go alone.
Mm-hmm.
No one, you know, it was no fear of anyone doing anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
You'd go alone. And I'd say if it was a school day and I suppose I was out by 3, I'd look at the movie and then I'd come right, you know, back, come up the bridge, come home.
Mm-hmm.
That would be in the summer. And in the wintertime, if I went, it would be on a Saturday, so I could go early, and, you know, before dark.
Mm-hmm. Did whites ever come to the Roanoke Theater?
Oh, yeah, the white people sit downstairs.
And how would you enter the...
We went through the... it was like an alley-like, and they had, you know, entrance, and you went and paid your fare and walked upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
The nice entrance was on Camel Avenue, you know, where the white one. And then you come down that alley, And, well, I guess you would call it an alley. And there was an entrance to, for the black to go into the door and pay your fare and go upstairs.
You bought this your ticket true. From a different ticket seller than the
Oh, yes, did? Yes. They have a colored lady or colored man to sell you your ticket.
Mm-hmm. But is this true of both theaters?
Hmm. I mean, you mean the Roanoke Theater?
The Roanoke Theater.
Oh, there was a white person sold the tickets for it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And what about, were there ushers upstairs that were
No,
blacks?
Well, they had one lady or man would be upstairs. You know.
And that would be a black person?
Yes.
And what about the ushers downstairs? Do you know what they were?
Well, they were white.
Hmm. Hmm. Were there ushers at the theater on Henry Street?
Yes, they had ushers.
Must have been a good-sized theater then, huh?
Well, it was a nice-sized theater. It wasn't small. Uh-huh. It had 2 aisles and a center aisle. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Mm-hmm. But you never saw any white people at that theater at all?
No. Only time I saw white people at anything we had was when the bands would come here and the auditorium, you know, they had a balcony. And we'd be downstairs and white people would sit upstairs in the balcony. Mm-hmm. And some would come downstairs and dance too. Mm-hmm.
That was an auditorium in the community here?
Mm-hmm. So the, all the big, all the large bands, Duke Ellington, Cab Calloway.
Was there a balcony in the Henry Street Theater?
Henry Street.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember if there was a balcony?
Oh, no. The Virginia?
The Virginia?
Yes, it had a small balcony, yes. Yes, it had a balcony. But that was strictly, no white people came to that theater. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't think white people came to anything we had up here. Unless it was something very special, did they?
Very special.
When it was special, was it advertised?
Well, it would be something that was advertised as something special or something like that.
What is something special?
I really can't say what would be special. What would be special?
We had several people of note, like Roland Hayes, who was a leading tenor at the time, Canada Lee,
who was a leading actor
on Broadway. Mm-hmm. You have people like Camilla Williams. George Washington Carver, for an example, came and spoke here. Mm-hmm. So these were special occasions, and you would have some whites who would come to those programs.
Well, if Roland Hayes was singing or Canada Lee was speaking, would that be in the theater on Henry Street? Or
no, that would be
in
a church.
No, that was usually in a church.
That was in a church.
That was usually at a church.
That was at a church.
Did they ever have anything called Midnight Rambles at the theater? Midnight Rambles at the theater?
Yeah.
What were they?
I was too young to go to that. I couldn't tell you that. I remember them having it, but to be able to know what it was I'm with.
Do you remember Midnight Rambles?
No. Mm-hmm.
You were not that late.
No.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions?
I'd like you to describe the living room and the space that you say Michaud shot the film.
Well, that living room was probably about the size of this living room. As I said, the hall was longer than that hall. It was about the length of that hall. The width.
Is that around like 13 feet square or so? Living room?
You see that hall there? Mm-hmm. I think. Now that's a narrow hall. That's a narrow hall.
You had a wide staircase in your grandmother's house?
That was a large hallway and a wide stairway with carved. You see, it was carved like this stuff up here. Then when you get to a level, then it was a platform. Then you walk up 3 steps to the upper hall. And that's why I said they had about 5-6 bedrooms. 3 large, 2 small, and a bed. A closet and a back porch. Mm-hmm. And downstairs it was a large living room, sun porch, a library, dining room, a large kitchen, there, and back porch.
Now the room that you said Michelle might have shot in, the living room, could you just describe the living room a little bit?
Let's see. Can I describe it? Oh, well, that was when you come in the door, you see, mm-hmm. and I have paws in this hand, that's why I shake. Mm-hmm.
So you can sit and show it to me.
This couch was a large window here.
Mm-hmm. Opposite the fireplace?
Yes. See, now, they're sitting on that couch now, but when that picture was shot, it was across the room in front of the window, and it was a long table there, antique table. Not like that one, but it was carved, and it was different.
On the front wall?
In the living room. Mm-hmm. And the chairs. Now here is, if you want to come here just a second. Marble around the fireplace. Mm-hmm. And this was, what would you call it?
Oh, the mantle.
Mantle.
Yeah.
With the mirror there. Now, when the house burned and they were turning it down, I said, well, I'm going to have something. Don't laugh now. Can you get that?
It's the
andiron
in the fireplace.
And this was in front of, you see. I said, I'm just going to have something.
Oh, that was pretty.
That was in front of the fireplace.
Mm-hmm. Now, I can tell you, I remember because I used to carry out the coal and ashes from the house, and so I recognize this right away.
Can you describe it for us so that we'll have it on tape?
Don't. You go ahead.
Since we don't have a camera with us.
you describe it.
Well, it's what you call iron from that particular day, and it has sort of a reef design, which is running around, wrought ironwork running around it. In the center, you have framed two women who seemingly are in a garden. It's a Romanesque type of design in the center, showing them perhaps at a water fountain, getting water, with one woman kneeling down and the other standing up, sort of leaning over her.
It's very elegant.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful fireplace.
So, and what would you call this? Was it a cover?
This is a screen cover.
You would put this on when you were not using the fireplace, and this would be like, for example, sitting like here, and you would have two pieces that went on the side of it also. And when you were wanted the heat, then you would move this piece to the side and put your screen up in front of the fireplace to keep the ashes and cinders from
coming. Now the one in the hall was the same way, but it wasn't as elegant as that.
You had
one
a fireplace in the hall as well?
The hallway, as I said, the hallway was wide, mm-hmm. and it was a fireplace in the hall.
Oh, I see.
And it had a screen. Mm-hmm. And had a mirror. Oh.
Mm-hmm. And would you describe the bedroom upstairs where Michelle might have shot your grandmother's bedroom, or was it your mother's bedroom?
It was grandmother's bedroom. Well, it was, in those days, well, it's today, they had this type of furniture, you know.
Dark wood, carved.
Dark wood, with mahogany. Mm-hmm. Was that what you would call it?
Mahogany.
Mahogany. Mm-hmm. And a four-poster bed, and a large dresser, and the small drawers at the top, and two large ones at the bottom, and a vanity table.
Was there a fireplace in the bedroom?
No. She had, they had a Kenneth and Pace installed furnace, because there was no furnace in the house when we were there. So they had a Kenneth and Pace installed furnace in there. Mm-hmm. Which, in those days, everybody's furnace was, you know, there was no ducts or anything, it was a type like that.
Radiator.
And you described the room as a, I mean, it was, you always referred to it as her bedroom as opposed to
that too,
master.
But I guess you would say she ruled the roost.
Was there wallpaper on the wall?
Oh yeah, it was. The whole house was wallpaper.
Can you describe the wallpaper?
Well, this is a little picture here. Maybe this will give you that my son was a Boy Scout. Now, that's the same living room. And can you see, get an idea of the wallpaper? Now, these pictures that are on this wall here were on that wall.
Oh, could you?
In my grandmother's living room.
The oval pictures.
And that one, too.
Oh, and that one as well.
Mm-hmm. So that picture must be, I remember that picture from what I said, I'm 81. So that picture must be 90. And those pictures were acquired later, say in the 31 or 32, something like that. But this picture was from childhood.
And that's a portrait of a lady in an oval inset in a rectangular.
Is that a brass frame or?
That's a wood.
Wood frame.
Mm-hmm. So that's old. Mm-hmm.
It's lovely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It resembles the screen a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But that's old. Now I don't know where they took that from or wherever they bought it from or what. But that was in the living room. And they had these two were in the library, those two. But they had other pictures in the living room.
Mm-hmm. This 14-room house had a library,
special
library.
Piano room. in it, piano.
Did you own any books by Michel? Or
no.
Ever read
no.
any
no.
books by him?
No.
Do you know he was a writer?
No, I didn't.
He wrote about 7 novels.
But when I go to the library, I inquire. I maybe they may have some.
I think it might be helpful, Mr. Holland, if you identify yourself on the tape. It's another voice.
Come over here.
So I think it can pick up. He's got a booming voice.
Oh, yes. Yes, he has got a beautiful voice.
My name is George Heller, and I grew up in the Gainsborough neighborhood in the area that we were talking about on Patton Avenue, which is a street over from Gilmer Avenue. I happen to be familiar with the house and the family because both of our families were friends. So that's why perhaps you hear my voice on some parts of this tape.
And if, when you were a young man, you took the ashes out, you said?
Well, he was a family. He was family. His family and my family. We both belonged to First Baptist. But they were both close. I guess you get tired of talking about grandma. But from his grandparents and my grandparents and his mother and my mother. And that George, he kisses me every time he sees me.
You're going to have that on tape. The world will know. And your grandparents' name, Mr. Howard?
George Robinson.
Robinson.
And Ophelia Robinson.
Robertson?
Robinson.
Robinson. Thank you.
And your grandparents' names?
Charles and Mary S. Thompson.
And do you know what your grandmother's maiden name was?
No, Persinger.
I spell it.
I don't know that.
Persinger.
Mm-hmm.
P-E-R-S-I-N-G-E-R.
Oh, Persinger.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything else you'd like to let us know about?
No.
You've had such a fascinating life being in a community for such a long period of time and having such a handle on everything that's going on. There's got to be something else you want to tell us about the community.
Well,
wealth of information.
The community, I think, is trying to build itself up again, don't you think, too, Mr. Heller?
Yes.
And We are hoping that with God's help, community and the will be able to bring the young people into a social atmosphere that we had. I had my grandparents, Mr. Heller, and my son, that they had, and they can have again.
And the church played a large role.
Oh, the church was a major. The church was a major role in the community and the schools. The schools played a great part. The schools would take the children on trips to. It was a factory that made what, sodas or chocolate or something near in Virginia. What is that?
Yeah. What, Metco, you're talking about the Coca-Cola plant? The dairies, the local dairies?
I mean, out of, in Virginia, but Harold would tell me about different field trips that they would go on to see different things made, you know, that the schools would take them on.
Richmond was usually a stop since it was the capital. And you had several factories, tobacco factories, that you could get to see tobacco made, cigarettes made, how they, you know, produced cigarettes. And there were other excursions throughout the area. Almost each period, you know, went to a different area and to see different things. Williamsburg was another major stop to pick up the history of the early part of the state.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about when you were a youngster growing up here,
right,
as well.
Could you tell us what years you were in school here?
Well, from 1939 to 1951.
So you were at Harrison Street as well?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Heller's a retired school teacher.
Did you teach at Harrison Street?
No, I didn't teach in Roanoke. I taught in Richmond, Chesterfield, and Northern Virginia, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh. And what subject did you teach?
History, English, mainly.
Uh-huh. High school?
Well, from grade one, I have an unusual experience. I taught from grade one through college level. So I sort of covered the whole span, you know.
And when did you come back to Roanoke?
1980. Oh.
He came back to take care of his mother, too. He took care of her beautiful. She never wanted for anything.
Well, I think that I can't think of another question that I want to ask.
I could
sit here and talk to you.
I was
going to
say,
the rest of the afternoon.
As soon as we leave, we'll think of lots of questions.
My son always says, don't get my mother to talking because she'll never stop.
No, we appreciate it very much. It's a nice way for us to get to know Roanoke.
Well, Roanoke is a nice place and the people are lovely.
And you obviously have a very strong sense of community. That's
I love Roanoke, and Roanoke has been good to this whole family.
Right. I have one last question. What about newspapers? Was there a black newspaper?
We had this is Miss Whitlock's paper. But not when I grew up, we had no black. We didn't have a black newspaper. No.
Did you ever read the Journal and Guide, the Norfolk Journal and Guide?
Yes, but that was out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, we read that. We took that.
Was that the paper that you preferred, or were there other papers you also took?
Well, that was the main one. I think that most black people read in this area.
Mm-hmm. You had I can recall the Richmond or Baltimore Afro-American. You also had the Pittsburgh Courier.
Yeah, that was another one.
Pittsburgh and German guy in the Pittsburgh Courier, I think, were, and the New Amsterdam. I know it's another paper that a lot of people read. And then you had the local paper, the Roanoke Tribune, which was probably the first black paper in this part of the state.
And when did the Tribune start? When did the Tribune start, the Roanoke Tribune?
Tribune was started somewhere in the 30s, late 30s. I would say between 35 and 39, I'm sure that time frame would be pretty accurate.
But in the 20s, before the Tribune started, how did you know what was playing at the movies?
Big part.
How did you know what was playing at the movies in town, Henry Street?
Did they have handbills or what? They had little boys, you know, to go around and, you know, distribute handbills.
Oh, so that's how you know.
And for the Roanoke, well, see, that was always in the paper, and we always took the paper. Mm-hmm. And up until a couple of years ago, we had the morning paper and evening paper. And now we just have the evening paper, morning paper. So you see, I always get the papers. And on Monday, I buy the USA.
Mm-hmm. How were those handbills distributed in the community? Were they sort of put on people in people's houses?
The children went up on your porch and put them in your mailbox.
Did the Roanoke paper have a page or two that was devoted to the social activities of the colored people, or was it only about whites?
Well, if it was something special, I think they wrote it up.
Again, the local paper carried very little what we would call black or Afro-American news. Sometimes it was the death of a prominent doctor or a teacher, for example, Lucy Addison, that was carried. But generally, it did not carry a great deal of the black community's news. I might interject right quickly. The other means of converting news to the black community were church bulletins that generally carried a cross spectrum of news.
And they would be put out once a week?
No. Every Sunday you had a church bulletin, you know. Mm-hmm.
That was distributed free to the members of the
church. Each church. So, you know, you the telephone or by mouth, if it was anything worthwhile or whatever. And then if it was anything that the churches were having for concerts or speakers or any special program, they would send the notices to all the other churches. All the churches did that. They do that even today. So that was their form of communication, so that you would know if anything is going on special in their church, that you would, so you would know and you would be welcome.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.